Christian hit music. Great content, rich, positive music from the Ashanti Kingdom through the internet at www.spiritfmonline.com to all parts of Africa, Europe, Asia, Antarctica, Middle East, and the Americas. Spirit FM, positive soul music.
The sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times you're living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be
good evening to all listeners. Thank God. Thank you for tuning in. And it's always a pleasure to come your way. I'm Eben. And from now till 9 p.m., you are going to have some time together. Okay, so a lot has happened this week in the world. The biggest being Donald Trump being sworn in as the president of U.S. again, and the changes are massive. And of all the things he said in his speech was the fact that common sense, it's time for common sense, and there are only two genders that the U.S. is officially going to abide by, male and female. And it's like, you know, it's amazing how the world can really go in a tangent where you ask yourself, so where is common sense? Because I mean, you just can't deny the fact that gender is two, male and female, but for the fact that people have to whatever deceive themselves and accept as many genders as they think they can create, gender is fluid and you can just add on to it, it's the largest form of deception you can have. So thank God there's sanity and common sense back in the U.S. according to the president and his policies. So, well, that's one good news there. And, well, so the world is going to have a little reprieve because he says he's coming to, he wants to be a peacemaker, not into wars. So, you know, some people are not happy with this. You know, those who like wars are not happy with a president who doesn't like wars. But, well, that's the new world we are in. It gives and some little, you know, peace to reign. And he addressed the World Economic Forum yesterday and he gave it to them seriously. I mean, he blasted them. You know, the things they stand for, he is against. So all the control, human control measures and all, the central bank current, I mean, digital currency, he has signed executive order that, no, it's not going to happen in the U.S. U.S. is not going to abide by the central bank digital currency. He's withdrawing from the World Health Organization. You know, they are controlling mandates and all these things. It changes the dynamics because the way they want to control things, once the U.S. backs out of it, it weakens them. Yeah, I know. So a lot has happened this week. And I was just telling someone, I was chatting about it, not today, like in the course of the week, that how one person makes a difference in the world is just fascinating. One person can destroy a whole system, like Joe Biden. We saw Joe Biden do one bad leader, destroys the world, and another comes and things just turn around overnight. That's the world we are in. All right, so we have scientists warn that AI has crossed a critical red line as it can now replicate, and that's quite worrying. Researchers have raised alarms about the state of artificial intelligence, claiming that it has crossed a significant red line by achieving self-replication. A groundbreaking study conducted by a team from Fudan University in China has demonstrated that two widely used large language models, LLMs, developed by Meta and Alibaba, have the capability to clone themselves autonomously. This development is seen as a critical turning point, suggesting that AI could potentially surpass human control. The study, published in December 2024 in the preprint database XIV, highlights that successful self-replication without any human intervention is a pivotal moment that could lead AI to outsmart humans. The researchers warn that this phenomenon could indicate the early stages of rogue AI behavior. In their experimental setup, the team conducted 10 trials in which both AI models attempted to create copies of themselves. The results were striking. The model from Meta succeeded in self-replicating in 50% of the trials, whilst Alibaba's model achieved a remarkable 90% success rate. These findings raise concerns about the possibility of AI systems proliferating uncontrollably. Despite the alarming implications, it's important to note that these results are still pending peer review, which means that their validity and reproducibility by other researchers remain unverified. The study's authors express hope that their alarming findings would serve as a crucial wake-up call for society. They emphasize the need for increased efforts to comprehend and evaluate the potential risks posed by advanced AI systems. The researchers called for international collaboration to establish effective safety measures and regulatory frameworks to mitigate these emerging risks before they escalate further. You know, that's the danger we are in as a world. Artificial intelligence. Human beings have created something that eventually is going to create problems for the world. I started creating and it's going to create problems for the world and humanity. All right, so the U.S. State Department puts an end to Pride, that's the gay pride. And so effective now, no U.S. embassy has the right to fly the Pride flag at the embassies and diplomatic outposts because the government in power has banned it. I mean, that's very good. So the U.S. embassy in Ghana will not be able to add the gay flag as part of their celebration of June, the gay month, Pride month. Oh, interesting times indeed. Okay, the number of children who think they are the wrong gender surges 50-fold. That's staggering. 50-fold. Wow. So recent research indicates a significant increase in the number of children identifying as the wrong gender over the past decade, showing a 50-fold rise. An analysis of general practitioner records, that GP records, reveals that there were approximately 10,000 diagnoses of gender dysphoria in England in 2021, compared to fewer than 200 cases in 2011. Wow. The study conducted by the University of York highlights a notable surge in gender dysphoria concerns, particularly among girls, who represent twice the number of cases seen in boys. Furthermore, the findings published in the Archives of Disease in Childhood reveal that over half of the individuals diagnosed with gender dysphoria also experience anxiety, depression, or instances of self-harm. And this is where you realize the thing is demonic. I mean, once you see anxiety, depression, and instances of self-harm, then you know where it's headed, then suicide follows. And you know, I mean, clearly the devil, that's the game he plays. I mean, he sets the trap for you. You now condemn yourself, self-condemnation. You feel you are not fit in the body, you are in the wrong body, you are not worthy of living, so you kill yourself and then straight to hell. I mean, that's how the devil plays this game. So actually, statistics show that, I mean, there's a very high level of suicidal thoughts amongst this transgender group in the world, and that's a red flag indeed to see how demonic this thing is. All right, let me continue. This research provides a comprehensive overview of the extent of gender distress across the country, that's in the UK, marking a departure from previous studies that relied on smaller samples from specialized services. Instead, this study utilized a large data set drawn from GP records. The findings come in the wake of the CAS view, which cautioned against hastily provided treatment for children who may express a transgender identity, emphasizing the need for careful consideration to avoid potential regrets. The review also recommended prohibiting the use of puberty blockers for individuals under 18. Researchers used anonymized electronic health records from 2011 to 2021 for general practices in England that contributed to the Clinical Practice Research Data Link database for this study. The recent study published in the journal Archives of Disease in Childhood has highlighted a concerning rise in mental health issues among children, particularly those identifying as transgender. While the research did not specifically investigate the underlying causes of this increase, the authors suggested several potential explanations. Among these are various social factors, including the heightened use of social media, which may impact children's mental well-being. Additionally, there appears to be general decline in mental health among children, especially girls, contributing to this troubling trend. Analysis of general practitioner records revealed that children experiencing gender dysphoria face significant higher rates of mental health challenges, including depression, self-harm, and compared to their peers. Alarmingly, more than half of the children with documented cases of gender dysphoria had experienced anxiety and then depression and self-harm, according to their records, and on and on and on. You see, clearly these are the warnings that we talk about. I mean, we've talked about on this program, the talk of digital parenting, the effect of the social media, and the poisonous programming in some cartoons and movies. You see, the first question that comes up is, where are these children getting this information from? You see, because a normal child that has been born, growing up in a normal home, in a normal society, will not think that I'm in the wrong body. The only reason why they start questioning themselves that I'm in the wrong, telling themselves I'm in the wrong body, or questioning whether I'm in the wrong body or not, is when they are fed the alternative information. So those that are in schools where the teachers are, pushing this agenda, they are being poisoned in the minds that you are in the wrong body, you are potentially in the wrong body, and all that, you are not fit in the body you are in. If you fail this, then you are in the wrong body. So that information is now, they pick it, they analyze it, start questioning. And you see, because the devil is always seeking opportunity, and the spiritual, it's a very thin line of spirituality to this whole demonic LGBT thing. So initially it will look like it's just a social issue, but then because there's a thin line, there's an easy switch, and then it becomes demonic. Then they get the manipulation starts in the mind, then this whole depression starts, they start questioning, they start behaving ways, self-harm, as the report was reading, experience suicidal thoughts. And naturally, there are people who have children, teenagers, youth, who have committed suicide because they felt they are in the wrong body and nobody understands them, their parents don't understand them, their friends don't understand them. This is how dangerous this whole thing. It's like a slippery slope where you start moving downwards, and if care is not taken, you end in the wrong place. This report is also a bit very worrying. This is US, but I keep seeing a lot of the statistics that are US based. If someone is to do these analysis here, these statistics here, the surveys and all that, we will not have much difference. We'll have close numbers as well, because some of the factors are similar, if not even worse. So public trust in pastors continues to decline. This is a very worrying one. Public trust in pastors has dropped to a new low, according to the latest Gallup poll. The survey finds that only 30% of Americans rate clergy as high, honest, and ethical, continuing a downward trend. Gallup's findings released this week, or last week, place clergy in 10th position among the 23 professions measured. Clergy were ranked below auto mechanics, 33%, judges, 28%, but above bankers, 23%, and nurse home operators, 21%. The poll, conducted December 2nd to December 18th, 2024, also measured that 20% of Americans rate clergy's honesty and ethics as low or very low, whilst another 42% see pastors as having average standards. 7% said they had no opinion about clergy. Gallup's measurements show that this year's figure aligns with the overall shift in public perception of various professional groups, many of which have experienced a decline in trust. The polling organization, which has tracked some occupations annually since 1999, said among professions said most professions have recorded lower honesty and ethics ratings over time. The proportion saying the clergy have high or very high ethics is down from an average of 56% in the 2000 to 2009 to now 30% today, according to Gallup. Responding to the Gallup poll results, LifeWay Research observed that pastors still rate among the top half of professions included, yet remain below majorities that trust nurses, 79%, grade school teachers, 61%, military officers, 59%, pharmacists, 57%, medical doctors, 53%. Over the early 2000s, the average level of trust across these groups hovered at or above 40%. It then dipped closer to 35% in the 2010s and has stood at 30% for the past 2 years, matching trust level for pastors. Gallup's data show that 21 of the 22 professions measured in both 2024 and 2021 have declined in public esteem, leaving state office holders as the lone exception with 2 points increase in that period. Previously, a broad majority of the U.S. held pastors in high regard, LifeWay stated, recalling that 67% of Americans considered pastors highly honest and ethical in 1985. That's why I was saying that if we are to do a similar survey in Ghana, we may have even worse numbers in Ghana now, because the perception about pastors is seriously dented. I remember one senior pastor telling me that he feels uncomfortable sometimes wearing the clerical going out to some places, because the perception people have about pastors, the way people look down on pastors, the comments, sarcastic comments people make about pastors is sometimes demeaning. And sometimes I see it as self-inflicted. The body of Christ has inflicted itself with all these perceptions out there in the public. The way pastors behave, look at the way prophets behave in Ghana, look at the trust. I mean, this is the recent election. I mean, I felt so some way when I look at some videos and the ridicule people ridicule prophets. Of course, there's the good and the bad, the ugly and all, but you see, some just generalize. It makes it look as if if someone is a prophet, then it's questionable and all that, because the bad nuts make it look like, well, now you can't trust prophets are like this, like that type of thing. I mean, all this, it was avoidable. I mean, clearly it was avoidable. See, so you have all sorts of characters, all sorts of things, and people now just generalize and lump all pastors or prophets into the same category. And it's like, so you see, if we are to do this perception or this surveys, you realize these numbers will not be far from what we are hearing from the U.S. as well. And the issues about money and and all that, because now people have serious perceptions about how the church has become monetized. Everything is money, 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 money. And you see, as soon as people have these perceptions, then trust issues is the next that follows. You see, so it becomes a very murky situation where people have issues relating to trusting men of God, because the talk about money is becoming an issue. People feel the church has been monetized too much and all, so they can't trust the people leading them and all. Actually, the numbers, people going to church, the numbers are dropping, and I dare say, if you are to do a survey, I dare say a large percentage of the people who are not going to church now would give their reason, number one reason being money issues. I dare say so. I mean, that number one reason why people are not going to church, some people have stopped going to church, is money issues. And you see, as soon as, if it's a money issue, then the fundamental basis is trust, because then there's a mistrust somewhere, and that's why then, well, they won't go to church and all. So you see, I think it's time church leaders, pastors redeem themselves by striking the right point of honor. I mean, doing what is right to let people know that they are not the same as the others out there. Because sometimes it's very worrying when, yeah, some are correct. I mean, we have good pastors and all that, but sometimes they do some things that gets a bit close to what the questionable ones are also doing. So sometimes you just wonder. I mean, you see, all these things are happening, the perceptions. If I'm to open the phone lines now, I mean, you hear the things people will say. I mean, because the perceptions are very, very negative. And I believe these warnings should, these statistics and all, should be a concerning issue for the body of Christ in general. And let's come to Ghana. Let's talk about issues here in Ghana. I mean, I believe it's time these things are addressed well, because when the perception is all about, well, we cannot trust them, so we'll not go. You see, this, the decline started from COVID, so it's more of a post-COVID issue. And one of the reasons in COVID where people stopped going to church was they couldn't trust, I mean, their leaders, because of how they handle situations and all that. And fast forward, after COVID or post-COVID times we are in, that mistrust has followed the point where, well, some think, well, then they will just stick to the online one, online church, because, well, that one, they are not there in person, so it's a matter of choice. If he has, he will give. If he hasn't got, he doesn't give. I mean, that one, nobody coerces, nobody influences on Julia, no. See, so all these things are coming up. All these things are coming up. And I'll be really excited if a statistician in Ghana does some of these surveys for the church, the body of Christ. It will be very helpful, because it can help address some of the issues. It can help correct some of the wrongs that is really deeply seated, and I think it's very unfortunate. But yeah, I mean, those who have those perceptions, is their choice. I mean, people, you can't force people to the way they should all think, but some of their thoughts may be justified in the way they see things and where they are or where they were. See, so I believe these are the times we are in where you hear some of these statistics. But, well, at the end of the day, see, I believe the fear of God is a fundamental missing link in all this. If the fear of God was really intact, a lot of the things happening, to the point where there's the decline in the trusts of men of God, would not have happened. Because if the men of God were fearing God, they would not have done some things that they've done that has caused people not to trust them. If there's fear of God as the pillar of the body of Christ, this is how we do things, because we fear God. It's God first. It's what God says that is done, not just how humans feel that is, I mean, propelling some decisions and how people want to do things just to please, you know, whoever and whatever, but not God. It's not. It's like the Holy Spirit has been relegated to the side, and it's all about show of force. People are doing things by their own will, but the church is Christ's church. So how do we relegate him to the background and expect to do things according to the way we want to do and expect him to endorse it? And these are all part of the reasons why we are seeing what we are seeing, the decline that we are seeing in the body of Christ, the numbers. And I believe, you see, when trust is, if trust can be restored, trust in leadership can be restored, trust in pastors and prophets and all can be restored, the tables will turn, numbers would start flocking to the churches again. Someone said that it's difficult now to evangelize and bring people to church because, even the people in the church themselves are not happy with the way things are going. So they don't even want to go and bring someone to come and add up to their trouble. So because they themselves are just managing and just containing the issue like that. So to go out and evangelize and bring someone, a new person, to come and experience what they are also not happy about, then they won't go at all. And these are all serious issues, because if evangelism can be influenced negatively by the fact that people are not ready to go and add up to the numbers in the church because they themselves are not happy with how it's going, so they are not ready to recommend the church to someone else to also come and join, then we are in a serious issue, we are in a serious trouble. And some are justified by what they say, because some will tell you that, well, to go and bring somebody who is not even born again, like to be saved, like new person, fine, the witness, the person is born again now, new disciple or new baby in Christ, and they will bring the person to church and the person hasn't got money, and it's like they come and it's all about money, they fail, the person will feel uncomfortable. And you see, so all these issues, people have issues. I believe sometimes pastors have to reflect and ask themselves these questions. If they start asking the questions, why are people not coming to church? What is wrong? They should start being open to people to know exactly their reasons. And I believe some of these things, they will get to know the real facts, the real numbers out there who think this is wrong. It's being done in church and it's wrong. I mean, you may think what you are doing is right. Oh yeah, because you are seeing the results you think is right to see. But people out there or the congregation think otherwise. They may not tell you, but they think otherwise. So those who are just not in favor of it, they just back out. They stop coming. These are the reasons. If we realize as the body of Christ that we should not be comfortable with the state of the church now, we should get to the point of introspection and self-assessment. We'll be able to fix the problems, we'll be able to correct the wrongs, we'll be able to heal the wounds. And this should be an issue that should be a worry to church leaders especially, because we cannot just go on like that and the church is declining in numbers, the church is declining in spirituality. You see, a lot of things happening, we are just tickling ourselves and we are happy, but the truth is there's decline. The issue is there's decline in the body of Christ. The numbers, there's decline. So I'll be back. This is Issues of Life, and I'll be back after this song.
Can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, but sometimes I wonder what he can do through me. No great success to show, my weakness.
I hear you won the chance to have God answer any question you ask.
Yes, I did.
What are you going to ask?
Why do your shoestrings only break when you're in a hurry? You know how that is. You're late for an interview. And...
Wait, that's it?
Yeah.
You can ask God anything. Why don't you ask him something profound, like, what's the meaning of life?
Oh, I thought about that, but that was answered through King Solomon in the Bible.
Oh, well then how about, why do bad things happen to good people?
The book of Job answers that. I wanted to ask something the Bible doesn't address.
What about, what does God want you to do?
The book of John, chapter 6. I tell you, with all the answers the Bible has, reading it is like having God right there in your living room. The thing I didn't see addressed was shoestrings.
Oh, okay. By the way, stressful situations cause you to use excessive force. Thus, you break your shoestrings.
Fine. Now I have to come up with another question.
Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio at LifelinePro.com.
Okay, welcome back. Okay, I just love the, you know, some of these days, shots profound and deep thinking. Wow. Okay, this is Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. I'm Eben, and thanks for tuning in. Okay, so let me just talk about this briefly. Last year, it's been happening for over 10 years, I believe, the praying for our children. And last year, it was the first time I joined, and I was invited, and it was a blessing indeed. This year, God willing, is coming off 22nd February 2025 at the Oasis of Love Church at Ahonjo, near the Absa Bank, opposite the Absa Bank, actually. This year's theme is The Excellence of Christ. It starts at 10 a.m. And last year, I think, we prayed to around 3 thereabouts or so. And it's a very interesting program because it's purely praying for the various categories or age groups. We have various leaders taking various segments of the prayer point, the prayer times, and it's quite a program that I would encourage every Christian to endeavor to be part of this year, because the need for prayer has never been more important than the times we are in. It's extremely important. We need to pray. We need to pray more than ever before. If there was a time that parents would be serious about praying for their children, I believe it's now, the times we are in, the season we are in. Because the devil has just stepped up the game to higher levels. Unfortunately, parents are being caught off guard by laziness and lack of knowledge, lack of understanding about the times, and being ignorant of the devil's devices. All these are playing out, and to the deficits and to the parents being asleep when they should be awake and praying for their children. So I believe this program is really important for us to be there as parents. Godlin will have Reverend Magazine in the course of next week or next 2 weeks to join us and expand, talk more about this program. She is the convener of this program, and I believe you'll be blessed indeed if you make time for this very important prayer meeting. There's nothing like praying for your child. I mean, you can't compare it to anything. It's the best thing you can do for your child, because what's the use of, you know, today I was having a chat on phone just before the program. A parent friend of mine, we are both parents in the same school, senior high school, and she was telling me she was going to call the son through the house parents, and I said, oh, she shouldn't be calling all the time like that. I mean, she should allow the boy to, like, you know, mature a bit, you know, self-reliant and all that. And but she said something like, so we were talking about these things, and she said she's been making a mistake over the period. When she calls, it's just about the, how you do academics, are you learning? But today she had it in mind that not today, no, she has to call and this time ask about her spiritual life. Are you praying? Do your quiet time and all that, you see. So
I raised an issue first and said, well, then it's good that I've brought this issue up and all that. So it's, we parents can be caught off guard sometimes by the other things, and we forget the most essential, that's their spiritual lives. So you can, I mean, you can pay for the children's education, buy them clothing, buy them food, whatever they need and all that. And yet, what if the Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? I mean, it's the biggest error we can make. To bring a child into the world and that child becomes a candidate of hell is the biggest error any parent can make. Because, I mean, it's the worst mistake you can make. To bring a child into this world and you help set that child on the path of hell by your actions or inactions is the worst mistake you can make. Is the worst mistake you can make, because if you didn't have a child, it would have been better than to have a child and set that child on the path of hell by your inactions or actions. It's clearly an error. But you see, the fact that your child has life and you also have life, it's not too late. You can work on it. You can redeem the harm. You can redeem and correct things. Sometimes a lot more effort to have to go in, but there is still hope. So far as there's life, you can redeem and work on it. So I believe parents should be encouraged to start a serious agenda to ensure that the children are for God. We are ensuring that these children that we bring to this world, these children are not meant for hell. They are not devil's candidates. They are not hell's candidates. They are for God. And whatever we have to do to ensure that they stay on the path of Christ, we do our best as parents. We need to see it as a major clarion call and as a serious assignment, because the devil is not sleeping on the job. No. I mean, the demonic forces are fully activated and are working hard. Oh yes, really, really working hard. And I believe these are the reasons why we should not sleep as parents on the job of parenting. Okay. We have one or two some messages. Serious. I mean, you can send your message this evening, 0244638. That's my personal line, 0244638757. And to the studio line, yeah, those who have the studio line, 0546898888. Yeah, you can send your messages there as well. So mine, you can send SMS as well. So I'm attached by the message. In fact, it's not all well with the church. The premium on money is too much. It's sad or serious. If you are to open the phone lines for people to talk about this issue of monetization in the body of Christ, it's something. Yesterday I was telling a friend, we were chatting, I was telling him that my biggest worry now is the monetization of the prophetic. Now it's really, really, really worrying, because it's as if now the prophetic is in tandem with its money. I mean we are selling the prophetic, let me put it that way. It's very unfortunate. It shouldn't be. It's wrong and it shouldn't be. But that's fine. That's what we are seeing now. And this message too says, it says, a Christian religious leader who pays his hard-working workers poorly and late every month and donates to the church for showmanship and fame. Why trust this character? Hey, some more. This is from another listener. It's serious. And then Mama Alice, this is a good one to really alert people. So the John the Baptist Evangelistic Ministries, that's evangelism training program for Christians to become soul winners. Call for the registration, 0243236488. The opening date is 2nd February and the closing date is 30th March 2025. They meet at Stadium Sobolo, People of Praise Auditorium. It's 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. each Sunday. So they teach evangelism, how to do evangelism. You know, evangelism, to some extent, is a skill. There's a way you go about it, because you can have a good message, but how you present it can make you not be effective in the body of Christ. So how you, I mean, they'll teach you all the important things, the basic fundamentals and all. Okay. And the same analyst said, good evening, Brother Ben. Many of the pastors in the pulpit are not saved or born again, and God has not called them. They have called themselves. So sad. Wow. Okay. We shouldn't sleep on our children. God help us. Okay, Mrs. Samprechum, good evening. All right. Okay, so let me quickly get into my main assignment discipline briefly, and would just be over in the next 15 minutes. All right, Titus chapter 3, verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. We should be careful to maintain good works. You know, when the year starts like this, you know, it's all about the prayer, the fasting, the, you know, setting the targets, the goals, the ambitions, the plans for the year, the achievements. I mean, it's all about starting the year. But sometimes we leave out very important spiritual things which are foundations, which affect our spirituality down the year, because we don't pay attention to it. So yes, we desire to pray more, we desire to fast more, we desire to read the word more, but few would think of, let's do good works. And the saddest thing in the body of Christ today is a lot of us have had good works before, but we are not able to mention many good works now. So you hear some who tell you, oh, when we were in school, yes, we used to preach in buses, we used to go to crusades, we used to do this, we used to go to house, we used to preach, don't broadcast. We, you know, people will give you a rundown. There are full CVs of from 1980 to 1990, from 1990 to this, we were this, I was a youth leader, I mean, prayer secretary, people can give you a full CV that is very impressive. But the CV ends somewhere before they became, you know, who they are today. So for some people, their CVs were impressive until they got married, and that was the end of doing good works. For some, CVs were impressive until they got a child. That's the end of the good works. For some, it was well and good, doing well spiritually, doing good works, until they got a good job, and that was the decline of the good works. So it's all about, we've done this before, we used to, it's about past tense. But what about now? What about the recent past? What have you been doing? What good works are you doing? We used to, yes, it was good, you did it then, but what about now? This year, what is your ambition? Yes, you have the fiscal ambitions, your social, to do this, to build, to do whatever the things, plans. Yes, it's good. But then spiritually, what ambition do you have for God's kingdom as well? What do you intend to do for God this year? What good works are we? You know, this verse is a bit interesting, because it uses a word. It says that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. So if you are not even going to improve upon it, you maintain the status, that the level that you are, you maintain it. So if you are sharing tracks, you keep sharing the tracks. If you are, I mean, if you are not ready to progress, you just be, you maintain it, maintain the good works you are doing, but don't stop it. Sadly, most of us, we've stopped it completely. There's nothing at all now happening. You refer to the past, oh yes, but then now nothing to show. But let's maintain, that's what this verse is, maintain good works, maintain it, maintain, you sustain, keep it going, keep doing it. So if you are doing whatever once a week, once a month, whatever, you keep doing it, but don't stop it. So let's set the targets for ourselves, the spiritual targets, the good works we intend. We know the good works we used to do, and the good works God is calling you to do. We know it. So let's respond accordingly and not be disobedient to the call of God, to God's instructions and all that, the promptings of the Spirit. Let's get to the good works that God is laying upon our hearts to be doing. Because sometimes the reason why the things we seek to achieve in the year are unfruitful, or it's not materialized, or we don't see the materialization of it, is the fact that we come to God in prayer with all our prayer requests. God, I want this and this and this and this and that. You expect Him to be doing all your prayer listings for you, but you are not ready to, in return, do ABC for Him. This is the type of Christianity we are practicing now, where we have our shopping list, beginning of the year, whether 21 days, 14, 40 days, 50 days, whatever number of days it is. We have about me, ourself, my family. It's all about us. And we expect God to heed to our calls, heed to our requests, heed to our seed offerings, and act on it, bless us. And you see, we want God to act, but we are not ready to act in any way, in any shape, and in any form. So He should do it, but we are not ready to do our part. You see, it doesn't work that way. We should realize that, you see, there are a lot of things which, as I said earlier, I was talking about Father, the decline in the body of Christ. A lot of things are dying off by virtue of the fact that churches are not even interested in them again. So it's not even being encouraged in churches, going out to share tracts, preaching outside in the communities. And there are now many churches, many churches don't even do crusades again. There are many churches, the whole of last year, not even one crusade, one mini, even micro crusade. Even micro crusade, cry, gathering five people, cry in their neighborhood of the church, cry, they didn't even do it. You see, so it's like there's a dying of some important things, Christian values, things which over the years churches held in high esteem, crusades in the communities, going out to share tracts, evangelism, going in pairs, two. Now, but you can count the churches that really and actively do these things faithfully. Very few. Is it so? Because the church itself is not even talking about it, encouraging people, talking, teaching about it, and all. Then most likely the members in such a church, they will not have the zeal for it. They will not have any interest in doing these spiritual good works. There are some habits you acquire by virtue of your association that you are in. So by virtue of the church you are in, you can have a desire and an interest in doing something, because the church talks about it a lot, the church does it a lot, so you most likely become used to it, and the interest is there, the experience is there, the desire is there, the passion is there. But when the good works that the church should be doing is killed by pastor's lack of interest in these things, so they don't even talk about it, nothing is done about, the members automatically become dead, spiritually dead in these areas, and they are not interested as well. So you see, if we don't decide to revive ourselves as believers, if we are expecting the church, our churches that we are in, to revive us, then I'm sorry, you may not be revived, because there are some churches that have decided that they are not going to revive themselves. They are not interested in doing serious good works for the kingdom of God. It's just about just keeping the system going. Sunday, we sit, we gather, we make ourselves happy in church, that's all. You see, we are just, a lot of people want to grow spiritually. They want to find themselves in, I mean, places where they know that spiritually something positive is happening. They are growing spiritually. They are achieving something, some spiritual milestones. They are spiritually mature. They are maturing. But people are feeling like they are in a dead-end situation. No spiritual growth, no progress, nothing challenging. So, of course, then it becomes difficult for some to engage in anything spiritually. Like, you can tag as a good work, evangelism, prayer, intercession, all these things there are a whole lot of things you can classify as good works. But when we lose the passion is not there for these things, it becomes difficult on your own. So let's force ourselves. The church may not be driving the passion in you. You may have to now drive yourself to be falling in line with the things that are important and the good work that we have to do this year. So in as much as, yes, we are praying and expecting God to do things for us, it actually behoves on us to do what is also important for God's kingdom. And it's a two-way thing. We do our part, God will also do his part. As children who he's pleased with our lifestyle, he's pleased with our good works. Brethren which are wealthy are given positions in church rather than spirit-filled brethren. Hey, this issue. Hey. I said the money issues, if you start talking about it, indeed, the level of trust among the clergy has dwindled and is a problem of much concern. Some of the messages. Indeed. So let's encourage ourselves. Oh yes. You see, if we are looking up to our leaders, the spiritual leaders, the church leaders, we may not do things. We may not do anything again for the body of Christ. Yeah, you think it's not worth it. But no, we shouldn't look at others before we act for God. They shouldn't be a standard. They shouldn't be whatever we are looking up to them. So if they don't, then we too, we won't. No. That shouldn't be how we should assess ourselves spiritually. At the end of the day, we should know God for ourselves. We should strive to progress in God ourselves. We should strive to grow. You see, we should see it as an individual affair. So if the leaders are not inspiring you to do the good works, you inspire yourself. Be inspired by the things you've heard this evening. Inspire yourself and revive yourself. Get the passion to start the year. Set your vision, your targets of doing good things, good works for the kingdom this year as well. It's not only about what God can do for us. It should be about what we can also do for God's kingdom. And I believe these are the things that would make God see us as serious children, worthy of He responding to our prayers. Oh yes. See, so sometimes we have our tall prayer list. We finish, the year will end. There's nothing to show for God. You see, it may seem and look like, oh, God didn't hear our prayers. Oh yeah, God might have heard it all right. But you see, your attitude, your mindset, the reason why you want some things, the motives are all, a lot of it, the motive is wrong. You see, so you see, if we don't get it right, it may seem as if God is not hearing us. But sometimes we are the problem ourselves. So this year, let's not waste our time by just praying, only to end the year and there's nothing to show for. We should be Christians who bear fruits. We should be Christians who are working out, doing good works for the kingdom of God. And at the end of the day, we live life that is pleasing to God. Ultimately, it's about pleasing God. We should set it as one of our targets, our goals for this year, that we are going to be pleasing God in doing things that would make Him happy about us. You know, like a child who does what the parents want. That child is scarcely denied by the parents for the things he sincerely, the things he needs, that the parents know that indeed these are the things that child needs. And I believe as we do these things, God himself will bless us and he will help us. So thank you for tuning in. This is Eben. I believe we've talked a bit about some things this evening, and let's keep ourselves empowered. We shouldn't look up to someone to empower us. No, let's desire to grow ourselves. Let's desire to have the passion. Let's desire to know God more this year ourselves. We should have a renewed mindset. It's important we do these things. We set these targets on our own, because a lot of people sometimes are driven by the target of the church alone. So if the target of the church is nothing really into serious spiritual things, then that means your vision, spiritual vision for the year, is also just some shallow thing. But we should get to the point as Christians where we evolve, we are above what the church is doing. A church is a guide and a help, but that should not be our only focus. We should grow above. We should grow, seek to grow, and seek to improve. All right, so thank you for listening. This is Eben. The program is recorded to be uploaded to Spirit Issues and the Telegram group. So thank you. God bless you, and good night.
Great content, rich, positive music from the Ashanti Kingdom through the internet at www.spiritfmonline.com. To all parts of Africa, Europe, Asia, Antarctica, Middle East, and the Americas, Spirit FM, positive soul music.
You're listening to the new Spirit.